Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome from the touchline in Seattle. I'm John Sovereign. Aaron Hines is already laughing over there. He's here.
Hey, Stav. Here we go. The roller coaster of the European Championships.
Yep, we're looking good. Back reunited, it's always better to do the show looking at you.
Totally, yeah, I totally agree. It's nice to see your face, too.
Yeah. It's good. We're going to get going here. We got a lot to talk about. Euro 2016, who's in, who's out, who do we get to crush? The list is long. We're going to talk USA, not looking so good there either. And we're going to talk some Jurgen Klopp. Can't wait to do that. And a little bit of Premier League, getting back on track after the international break.
I love Jurgen Klopp.
I can't wait to hear your new Jurgen Klopp voice. We're going to talk MLS playoffs a little bit. Things are clearing up there. And, of course, we'll get into the World 11 and the bottom three. So let's get going.
All good.
Euro 2016 qualifying almost complete. The initial rounds are complete. Only the playoff left here. Who's in, Heinzo? Who's in? Obviously, the holders, France. They're in.
They're in. No question about them. They're in.
Yeah.
Spain's in.
Spain is in. England, also in. Except
England.
Their group, Germany. Germany, despite a loss to Ireland there in the last bit of qualifying, they're in.
Yeah.
Portugal in. Belgium now ranked number one in the world, which I think the FIFA rankings are about as false as Sepp Blatter in general. But Belgium is now ranked number one in the world. They go in as a seeded nation into Euro 2016.
Germany as well, of course, and
Italy
are also there.
Yep. Switzerland, Croatia, Russia, they're also in. Czech Republic, Romania, Austria, Poland, Robert Lewandowski is in. Slovakia is in. Let's talk about the surprises, though. We touched on this a little bit, but in the last few weeks, Iceland, winning their group. Great to see that. They're in.
Iceland, yeah. They, yep. They did very well. Very well there.
Yeah. Turkey's in. You can't figure out how, but they are in.
They're in. They're definitely in. There's no question they're in. I don't. I'll get more to that later.
Okay. Wales is in. Gareth Bale, well done.
Well done. Yeah. Well done, Wales.
Also, Northern Ireland is in, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, very excited for Northern Ireland. Very excited for Wales. Northern Ireland's kind of so close. It could have been all of them, but sorry, Scotland, not this time. Tough group they had. They had a tough group. Republic of Ireland goes in instead, but it was good. Good run.
Yeah, I mean, if we have Ireland, Northern Ireland, Wales, England all in, it's pretty significant, I would say.
Yeah. The Czech Republic actually won their group. Iceland got second. The Czech Republic ended up on top.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's right, because Robert Lewandowski scored I think, what, another 5 goals in his last 2 games there?
Yeah, well, he scored for them for Poland, but Czech Republic ended up getting that victory at the very last minute.
Oh, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was over Holland, right. Actually, thanks to Robin Van Persie.
Yeah, I was reading Czech Republic and thinking Robert Lewandowski.
Oh, I know.
Albania is also in. Is that a surprise to you?
That is a surprise. First time ever. Like, never even been in the conversation. Albania. And now they're there. Black Eagles, congratulations, huge.
The Black Eagles are in.
They are in. It's great to see. That part's great to see.
Now we've got a playoff round coming up.
We do.
In the playoffs are the Ukraine, another one which you cannot figure out why that's happening.
Well,
Bosnia-Herzegovina in the playoffs. These are the 4 seeded teams in the playoffs. Sweden, we need Ibrahimovic in this.
Yeah,
we
nice
need
Ibrahimovic. Yeah, be nice to see them.
Hungary, Denmark, Ireland, as you mentioned, Slovenia, Norway. Now, the way these playoffs work, Heinzo, they're going to have the draw here on Sunday, and then they're going to – it's just going to be a home and away, basically.
Right.
Four matchups, home and away, winners of those matchups are in.
Right. Yes, no, that part I understand. The one part that I was – as I was going through it, I didn't have enough time to check it out, but Turkey, who are in – to the championships have fewer points than, say, the Ukraine. Turkey ended up with 18 points in the year. And the Ukraine ended up with 19. But the Ukraine is yet still in the playoffs. So I don't understand. I'm missing something, but I'll have to explore that further. That's my question.
Okay,
that's
well, as you explore.
And I shall explore it.
Yeah.
Live. Live, I'm exploring it.
As you explore, I'm going to start the conversation.
Yes, please do.
I think the big headline of this qualifying.
It is a big headline.
Is Holland or their failure to qualify. And a team that has just finished third in the World Cup, I mean, almost just over a year ago, Heinzo, and here we're talking about them with absolutely, they have nothing. They're not in Europe. They're out. I mean, talk to me.
Well, as we were talking before the show, this is, like I said, team finished third place. They continue on. They get into qualifiers. The group they're in is, you know, no one really saw Iceland coming in, and Iceland shocked them with that 1-0 win, and kind of that propelled them on their way to finishing qualifying. You know, Latvia and Kazakhstan, obviously two teams that they assumed they would beat, and obviously they did, but Turkey is a difficult one. Czech Republic are known, those are two known difficult teams, and Holland coming off the World Cup, third place finish, maybe came into this thinking they had things going on. But when I said they have an eight group in part of their stars, other than Klaas-Jan Huntelaar, all the older guys, you still have the likes of Wesley Sneijder, you still have the likes of Robin Van Persie, the kind of guys you're leaning on and who are definitely in the twilight of their careers. And, you know, they've had some unlucky things, Tim Krul injury going down, but there's still plenty of other goalkeepers from Holland that could do the job. I just think they lack motivation or they lack an actual idea of how they wanted to go forward after the World Cup when Louis van Gaal went to Manchester United and no one was able to pick up from there. So it's surprising. It's maybe one of those roles that you see in a country that is missing stars right now, especially in the midfield, and it's something you rarely see from Holland, but it's where they're at right now. Everybody goes through it, and that's just a point for them. I think especially with the extension of the European Championships and a bigger group now, the fact that Holland is not in the conversation is quite shocking no matter what.
It really is. And I mean, when you talk about Van Persie, I mean, obviously Van Gaal sold Van Persie for a reason. And now
right.
Van Persie is struggling to get into starting 11 at Fenerbahce in Turkey. Turkey just keeps coming up in the show so far here, Hunt.
Yeah.
Just haunting you. but I would say, he's finished. Because a guy like Van Persie, who relied on his pace, you know, when he was a great player, when that pace goes away, I mean, I think a guy like that's going to struggle, you know. Wesley Sneijder, I mean, he's got as much business being in the Dutch midfield as Frank Rijkaard or even Ruud Gullit, I mean, at this point, because he's finished.
He peaked back when Inter Milan won the European Champions League, and he was in the conversation worldwide for a while. Now, you know, he's been playing in the Turkish system for a bit of time. Yeah, I don't know why he's still in the fact that he is still in the Dutch national team at this point is obviously a big issue for Holland.
Well, let's go to the game that knocked him out against the Czech Republic. Lewandowski didn't play in that game, by the way.
Right,
the Czech Republic.
He
right.
was on, yeah, he didn't.
Because he was playing for Poland.
That's great.
I mean, so here's a game that the Dutch is in an absolute must-win situation, and they need help, right? I mean, you're looking at they're down 2-0, game about the 66th minute, I think. Free kick comes in. I have no idea how this happens, but then Percy goes to head the ball back to the goalkeeper, and he smashes the ball in his goal.
Yeah, uncharacteristic for that.
It was actually a
great header.
It's probably one of the better goals he's scored in months. He goes on to score a goal, then come back.
Right.
You're looking at it, so now they're down 3-0. They actually come back. Huntelaar gets one. He gets one. 3-2. They make a little bit of a game of it. But Van Persie, I mean, he comes out and he came out in the press saying he's not going to give up on his Dutch career. He doesn't need to, Enzo. His Dutch career is over. I'm going to go on right now and say he will never be called in again. Marco van Basten has a better chance to be called into the Dutch national team than Robin Van Persie at this point. He will never be called in again after that game.
This is his last time, last jersey, last time.
It is, and it's sad to me that that's going to be the last memory of him because he had some great moments for the Dutch national team.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He really did.
One most recently. Remember the header goal he scored in the World Cup?
Fantastic,
extraordinary.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be his last one, but I think you're pretty darn close in saying he is. He may do a friendly or two, but I think competitively you're probably right. I mean, obviously the European Championships World Cup qualifying starts right after that. I don't see Van Persie in that.
Yeah,
so,
where is he going to fit in? They might give him a testimonial.
Right, yeah. I'm sure there'll be a couple more friendlies, but I agree with you. I think he's done as far as competitive games go for Holland, for sure. I agree.
What do you think about Danny Blind, the coach, or as they're calling him right now, Danny Blind?
He did come in and try and fix this thing partway through, but the fact that they didn't.
He got pulled in halfway through. The disaster had already been made, really. He got pulled in to try to fix the disaster. So in my own mind, I can't put it all on him.
Right.
But they're gonna put it on him.
Yeah.
There's already rumors of Ronald Koeman leaving Southampton in England to go take over the Dutch job, which he's denied. But another interesting Robin Van Persie-esque headline from Danny Blind saying he won't quit. And again, Danny, I hate to break it to you, I'm not sure that's going to be your choice.
Yeah, I think he's he's got his hands are over. He's part of the youth there. Washington team was 3-2. It is the Czech Republic good team, but they aren't qualified. Holland had to get something. They couldn't do it. So, and now that's kind of everything on the list at this point. So I think he goes, whether he goes tomorrow or this week or something, maybe that's not the case. But, somewhere down the line before they start qualifying for the World Cup, I don't think Danny Blind's going to be leading the ship on that one.
I feel like the Dutch have been through the coaching carousel. There's nobody left to potentially coach.
Oh, Dick Advocate's back. He's back.
Yeah, Big Dick. He's free. They could wait a few weeks and they could get the Jester, Timmy Sherwood. He'll get sacked here soon. could also wait a couple of weeks and Steve McLaren is going to get sacked from Newcastle. And one of the only places Steve McLaren's had success in life was in Holland. So maybe that would be the right one.
It's one of those times where a country is at a turning point. Like you said, at a crossroads, and it's time to start cleaning house just a little bit, get some new players in there, whether they're tested or not. That's where they've got the you do have Philip Cote, who's been on the national team for a long time and has been a good coach at PSV Eindhoven. He's got to be somebody whose names should probably be soon. Plenty of experience there. So there are guys around. I mean, what's his name? Seedorf had a crack at AC Milan. Didn't go so well, but that's a club that got a lot of money at the time. At least to come in and get it started on the conversation and who's up and coming in Dutch. They have plenty of great minds. They're always going to be an innovative group. Holland, if there's one country other than Spain, after Spain won it, the next country that you should say that I think should win the World Cup is Holland. I mean, they are right there. The quality, what they've done for the game, everything about them says world football, world leaders, but they haven't won it yet. And so this is a huge setback. But, you look at what Germany did after they fell out of the World Cup in 1994, losing in the quarterfinal. 98 wasn't very good. Then you see them start to rebuild, and they are now dealing with what is probably the best team in the world right now and kind of revamping their thing. Maybe they need to take a look at that. Maybe, they're a smaller country. Maybe they're just in a lull. But, the Dutch will be back, no question about it. And, I'm sure we'll be having this conversation. They'll be in the World Cup conversation in 2018.
Well, if you look at it, you've got some young players that are coming through. By the time they start qualifying, is Memphis Depay going to be a better player from playing regularly in the Premier League than Manchester United? Of course he is,
Absolutely.
I don't think that right now he's a player that can carry them. He just doesn't have the experience at that international level. But you do have some players coming through. But I think you're right. It's this cycle for them, we talked about it a little pre-show. That cycle really ended at the end of the World Cup. And for them to extend that cycle of those players into this qualifying was too much, and they looked unmotivated, as you said. And it was just kind of a group of players that were kind of, done with their international career. And so
I bet some of them even probably didn't even believe they were going to be playing in the following summer. I think some of them were probably like, I don't even know if I'm going to be a part of this you know, come next summer in France.
Well, I can tell you what they're not going to be a part of, and that's Euro 2016.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So they don't have to worry about that.
Well, yeah, they don't have to worry about that at all.
They don't take the summer off. Enjoy your time in Malta.
Right.
Well, let's talk about another debacle going on in the world of international soccer. And, I mean, I don't know if you would call this a debacle. I'm going to call it a debacle. The United States national team is a debacle. For the first time since the 1960s, they've lost 5 consecutive games on home soil. The last two coming in is a 3-2 loss to Mexico, knocking them out of the Confederation Cup. And then their 1-0 loss to Costa Rica earlier this week. Shocking. Shocking performances. They looked out of ideas. They looked poor defensively. They looked uninspired. And I think this is a disaster right now. Talk about a team in between a cycle. I think you've got another aging team. Clint Dempsey looked as interested in a game against Mexico as he has here at CenturyLink Field for the Sounders, which is uninterested. Jozy Altidore, to me, he's done, you know. I think that you've got these young guys on good. You've got Jordan Morris. I'm not going to put DeAndre Yedlin on there because I think he's terrible. But you've got these younger players that are coming through that aren't, again, similar to Holland, aren't quite ready to step up and be leaders at the international stage. But you've also got guys like Kyle Beckerman. You got guys like Jermaine Jones. I mean, these guys are aging. I mean, if you take these guys to the next World Cup, they're going to be 36, 37
right.
years old.
Left
you can't
back,
do it.
DeMarcus Beasley, left back.
DeMarcus Beasley does.
I just thought the U.S. walked in the game. They were very defensive. They stayed back. Mexico had large portions of the ball going forward. It was disappointing to see that Tim Howard doesn't start. I know he's been out of the picture for a while. I just think he's, whether he's been in or not, he's better than Brad Guzan, hands down. He's a better presence. But I did rather like Jeff Cameron and Matt Beasley in the center. I thought they did all right, as far as the center-back question has been going for them. It was disappointing at the very end of the game when Sadie Johnson had to go out for a thigh injury that he's been dealing with at Borussia for a while. He missed games at Borussia. I thought the substitution, because they scored, they equalized Bobby Wood, and then Sadie Johnson had to go out, so instead of getting Wondolowski and throw Wondolowski on and keep that offensive momentum going, they then had to make the substitution of Brad Evans inside right back, and the momentum died, and Mexico scored an incredible goal to win and avoid a penalty shootout, which I think a penalty shootout would definitely have gone the U.S.'s way. I don't think Mexico's goal was really that great.
Well, you know what's funny is that Jurgen Klinsmann has had some moments here where he's thrown a couple of his players on the bus.
Yeah, it is a reaction to it. It was Fabian Johnson. It was bizarre, I think, to say the least. Like,
well,
really.
And the whole Jermaine Jones thing, I mean, let's start with the substitution. You know, obviously he's played 110 minutes.
Yeah,
it's not like he's
yeah.
asking to come off after 20 minutes.
Right.
So he's played 110 minutes. He's feeling it. He has to come off. After the game, Klinsmann talks about the fact that he was going to use that substitution to put penalty specialist Nick Romano in the goal and said, oh, the substitution didn't allow me to do that. Nick Romano then comes out and says that there was nothing ever discussed about him being subbed in for that.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand. I mean, why would Klinsmann throw Fabian Johnson under the bus with that? If there was really never any discussion, I mean, how does Nick Romano not know he's going in the 110th minute if it's
going to
happen in 10 minutes?
Yeah, it's bizarre. I just think he was really upset at Johnson after saying he just kind of he didn't give his all or whatever. He said, you know, just had a stern word to him, he said, and sent him home. You know, you're not playing in the Costa Rica game. Which the Costa Rica game, Costa Rica's good. I think they're a good team. They've obviously proven that in the World Cup. They haven't done that much since. You know, their Gold Cup is a little bit disappointing, but you know, they just won 0-5. I mean, this game against Mexico, it would have been good to win. And I think my opinion on the game, whether it doesn't really matter, but I think Mexico deserved to go to the Confederations Cup anyways. They won the most recent Gold Cup. So this game is superfluous. But whatever.
I would agree.
I think Klinsmann's reaction where he got it wrong was to say, hey, what are you doing, Fabian Johnson? Why are you coming off? You know, you let us down. When the guys are dealing with this thigh injury, he gets back to Borussia, and they're like, oh, yeah, we've documented this guy's had troubles with this. Just played a whole bunch of games in a row. He just played it's overtime. He felt it tightening up. It could have gotten a lot worse. So he was smart to come off.
Well, and, but here's the difference. Here's the difference in theory. Klinsmann just throws him under the bus in the media.
Yeah, in
if
the
you
media.
Want to send him
yeah.
home, send him home and make up an excuse in the media.
Sure.
You know? So he gets back to Germany. And
right.
what is Borussia Mönchengladbach going back to? They say, yeah, he does have the injuries. He might play on Saturday. So maybe the injury isn't as bad as what they're saying. But what are they doing? They're protecting their player.
Well, sure. Yeah.
You know, in
yeah.
the media, they're protecting their player. And they had to come out and protect their player, which every coach should be doing. I mean, we're talking man management here. Is Klinsmann losing the USA locker room? The way they're playing, I would say he is, because they are playing uninspired. In one of the biggest games, the Mexico game is one of the biggest games they played it.
Sure, absolutely.
It's the Gold Cup, and they brought in all their top guys, quote unquote, and it just didn't. It just to me, it was unacceptable. The performance was unacceptable in terms of how uninspired they were. And to me, I have to think that that's coming from your organization.
Yeah, they didn't go for it. They sat back in Mexico, let Mexico out the ball, and then when they finally did get some momentum at the very end. You know, I won't. You can't put it on Klinsmann because Johnson has to come out. But I agree like that. You have to back your player. And if Johnson says he's tightening up, which if he stays on the field and then pulls something, pulls that same thigh, I mean, then where are you? You know, you're
yeah.
still now he's hurt now. It's not worth it. So you know he has to come off.
Costa Rica, if he
had yeah, it would have been somebody else. Yeah, no, for sure. So I think in Klinsmann, you know, thinks something else. But like I said. You can't just throw him under the bus like that.
No.
It's not like you said, it's not like he was 15 minutes in and was like, I'm out or I'm getting a blister or whatever. Yeah, 110 minutes. I mean, that stuff's going to happen. Disappointing because you feel like a player like Jay Johnson should be fit. Like, but he's been battling anyway. Those things happen.
Yeah.
110 minutes. So, yeah, I think Klinsmann is losing a little bit of the locker room. I think he's losing the trust of the players. No one knows what ground they stand. U.S. is also, you know, Bradley's getting older. Our next competition is now the World Cup. No question the United States will be qualifying for that, barring a massive nightmare. You know, they're in a fairly easy group, and they have to get to the hexagonal and going from there. But, will all these players be involved in that? Will we see Dempsey in the 2018 World Cup? Probably not. Will we see Bradley? Probably not.
I think you'll see Michael Bradley.
You might be right.
I think you will.
Altidore, probably not. But, you know, there are good flashes of stuff like Jossie Zardes coming along. Wasn't superb in this game, but coming along. Bobby Wood looks incredible. I mean, he looks like a goal machine in the making, a really exciting player. Obviously, subbed on, scores again, just like that.
Yeah.
Good ball, you know, I know you're not a fan of Yedlin. Good ball from Yedlin. But he came on 10 minutes prior to that and passed it to Mexico several times. Still has to work on that part of his game. He's still developing. I still want him to retire. He's still in the past.
Yeah, DeAndre Yedlin, to me, he's just some fast guy. He's a turnover machine.
Yes.
The guy gives the ball away
yes,
almost every time he touches it. Whether he's taken too big of a touch and it gets
right.
picked off, or whether he just literally passes the ball straight to the other team.
Right.
He's a turnover machine. If I was playing with him, it would drive me insane
right.
the amount of times he gives it up. And he's just sprinting around out of control. And, yeah, he's good for – to get down the line and get service a couple times a game. You've got to give it to him. But
right.
I think you're going to see, as he rots with Sunderland at the bottom of the Premier League table, that this is
right.
a player that is not ready
right.
to be an international, full-time international player.
What is, hopefully he develops, you know, in a couple of years or so. But you're right, he's not getting a lot of help. You know, I will say this:
we heard reports also this week of some problems within the U.S. camp.
Mm-hmm.
Guys kind of thinking they're above it, big
sure.
timing the situation. And I mean, I was surprised to hear that this name was the culprit, but the culprit was DeAndre Yedlin.
Which is pretty amazing because you know, no one he has absolutely not earned the big time status whatsoever.
Yeah. Now, that's coming from our English correspondent, Sir Andy Machen.
That's good.
Which we know that that's he's classic. A very talented man. He has many talents. One of his talents is gathering information. Another one is sitting at a pub smashing pot.
That's great.
But
So that
we, but reports coming from the English correspondent that they had some trouble in the camp and that it was surrounding DeAndre Yedlin, which disappointing to hear that he's big time to anybody. He should be passing and receiving a ball up against a concrete wall.
Yeah, he's definitely got improved, no question. I was disappointed to see that Sasha Fleischman was not involved in this game. But
yeah.
We really would have liked to see him. I think he brings
very
a lot.
Surprising.
Done so well for New York, and he's a great player. I think he's someone that can change, is a game-changing kind of player. Whether Klinsmann likes him or likes to use him, I'd like to see more of him, though. I want to see him really, really involved in the midfield as much as possible, whether he's a substitution or what. But the fact that he's not even in this team, not even in the 18, to me is disappointing.
I'd really like to see him and Mick Stischer together in the center of midfield. I'd really like to see that.
I mean, I just think there's more combinations out there that still haven't been used. I mean, Bradley, Jones, Beckham, this is pretty defensive midfield. Good midfield for the United States, but I love him a lot. I think, yeah, well, you know, you could talk to your face, but I would like to see a little more attacking on the United States.
Actually, I'd like to see you talk to your blue in the face.
I'm blue in the face.
You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Hines, and here I'm from the text line in Seattle. And we're in Seattle, both of us today. That's a nice
yeah.
little change. Every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon on the East Coast. They're just always ahead of us.
I know. No matter what we do, we're still
no
3 hours
what we
behind.
Do, those guys are always ahead of the game.
Wait, you had lunch already? I just got up. You already had lunch?
Jeez, I can't believe it. Every time. Let's move on to the Premier League because, you know, the one great thing about the international breaks is coming off of them and we get to get back into the league play. And this week, I would say probably one of the most hyped managerial debuts I've ever seen in my time following world soccer. Jurgen Klopp coming into Liverpool, going to Reinhardt Lane to play Tottenham. No Firmino, which really isn't a big loss. No Danny Ings, another one which isn't a really big loss. But he does have Sturridge. And this is going to be a very interesting debut for Jurgen Klopp. I can't ever say that I've really ever been excited to see Liverpool do anything except lose, but I'm excited to see how this goes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's a modern day coach, a player's friend. He's very, very charming with the media. He speaks English very well. Easy transition. There isn't any gaps. He's just right in there, and he's a very positive, motivating figure. And the Borussia Dortmund game, we talked about the Borussia Dortmund teams he turned out of Germany the last few years have been superb. He took a team that was in the year that won the European Champions League, I think it was 1997. They just had financial problems after that, fell out. Now they pop back up, and who is it? After a few years at Mainz, it's now Jurgen Klopp, 7 years with the team, brought Borussia Dortmund back onto the international scene. This younger coach, kind of in the same group as Guardiola. Maybe, you know, obviously doesn't have the trophies and stuff, but and as a team that isn't Barcelona, it isn't Bayern Munich, it's Borussia Dortmund. Oh, we know who they are. We saw them, what, like 15, 20 years ago? Now they're back. If this man brought them, Liverpool are in the same position, coming out, faded glory, just like Dortmund was. I mean, you can't help but they're just trembling about this guy. And now he's got, obviously, injury problems, like you said, already popping up, but, you know, he hasn't come out and said, I'm going to offer you this, offer you that, just let us get a chance to build. You know he can do that with the team, which I think he isn't like Brendan Rodgers, who hadn't been at a big club before that. I've had a chance to see Dortmund live with Jurgen Klopp, coach Dortmund, and it is something else. Like, they come at you, you know, they absolutely press high, they're fast, everybody works hard, he likes everybody on the field to contribute defensively. It's a lot of fun to watch. So, I mean, Ferguson came out and said it. He's like, I hate to say this, but Liverpool are going to be much better under Klopp. And I think everybody knows it. And he's going to fit in with his fast-paced Premier League style. I can't wait to see what he's done. Like I said, injury problems aside, it's going to be good. So,
another injury is Christian Benteke,
yeah.
which is
a big loss. Yeah, it's a big loss. But, you know, he's not here to bring in I don't think he's even looking at winning titles or anything this year. In fact, if I was Jurgen Klopp, I'd be like, let's get out of the Europa League as quick as we can. Let's just concentrate on getting higher in the Premier League, shoot for the top four if possible, and call it a day.
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting who he brings in January and how he starts to form the team. I would guess that the likes of Firmino's are not going to be around. Because, as you said, he likes a team of guys that are all pressing, working hard together. I don't see Firmino as that player. He's obviously a guy that whoever the clowns are that are running their transfer policy there brought in. But I think it'll be interesting to see who he brings in.
Well,
I mean,
he will be given a chance, Firmino, right? So if you can do the job, if you can press, if you can work, Shinji Kagawa is a player you don't always associate with defensively, but he does the job out there when he's playing.
Yeah.
So, can he do it? Marco Royce, another one, you don't think about him, but he also is in the style that does that as well. So if he does the job, great. If you don't do it, then, you're going to be right out the door. And Klopp, you bring up a good point that Klopp won't be buying people like Firmino. So he's going to go after a Lewandowski, throw a bunch of other names. He's not going to get Müller, but you know what I'm saying? He's going to go for the cream of the crop. Like, I'm not going to be buying these unknowns, the Markovic group or anything like that. We're going to be going for people that are proven because that's what wins Premier League title. Like, Jay Carrick said the other day, like, you buy Manchester United, Man City, and Chelsea all have something in common, and that's it. They buy a group of players and how they've been finishing the last few years. Well, it's pretty obvious.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but I think he's a guy that people want to play for. So I think
totally.
He's going to be able to draw some good players in there.
No, absolutely.
I mean, it's not a coincidence that Brendan Rodgers wasn't able to pull players into Liverpool that were quality. I mean, look at besides Benteke, they brought in Danny Ings and Firmino. I mean, I've never even heard of these guys. Nobody wants to play for Brendan Rodgers because he's an arrogant guy, and you can see it. From day one, and I'm just so glad I got to look at his fake tan.
He did have Luis Suarez. He did have Luis Suarez, which was astounding purchase on Liverpool's part, the best purchase they've had in a long time. We could be having such a different conversation. Obviously, this is just in the past, but if they had won the Premier League title, Rodgers would be in a whole different light right now. I mean, think about how close he was. Steven Gerrard's foot sticks on the grass, and he's able to stop that Chelsea goal. I think it was Romero, or whoever, Willian, whoever scored it. But he slips and falls. I mean, it's just an unbelievable. Slips and falls. It's the start of the snowball. Chelsea score. They win. Liverpool draw. Then they blow it at Crystal Palace. I mean, it's just one debacle after another. Now Rodgers is out of a job. They finished second, and they were so close to winning.
Yeah.
Had they won the Premier League title, maybe you could buy some bigger-time players over that summer. But instead, they don't. They blow it selling Suarez for so much money. Well, then they blow that money on a bunch of people one ever heard
that
of.
Money on terrible
Markovic
players.
Was there for a year. Now he's on loan in Italy somewhere. I mean, it just nothing worked out. You're like, oh. So, yeah, I mean, they've got a challenge.
And now Brendan Rodgers is
who knows?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, another big name manager who's going to really be needing to get himself back on track this weekend is Jose Mourinho. And if you need to get back on track, the one guy you want to be playing is the jester himself, Timmy Sherwood. Chelsea and Villa this weekend. I mean, we're talking about a Villa team in the relegation zone and a Chelsea team right on top of the relegation zone. This is a big game for Chelsea. I mean, there's not many times you would say, oh, this Chelsea-Villa game is really a big game for Chelsea. But it really is a big game for Jose Mourinho. He's got to get back on track. I mean, he has to.
This Villa-Chelsea game is delicious.
Fantastic. I can't wait. But really, I can't wait. I really hope that Timmy Sherwood, that Villa scores first. Because
then
you get to see the jester in full action, juggling the bowling pins. Everything happens. He's running up and down the sidelines. He's doing backflips. And you're going to get to see Jose Mourinho really upset. And then when Chelsea comes back and wins that game, then you get to just see the jester just get his spirit crushed.
I hope it goes exactly as you said it. Bowling pins, unicycle is out there. Mourinho is trying to keep positive.
Unicycle.
I think Yeah, it's going to be – I mean, obviously Chelsea should win this, but we've seen more than one bad start from them this year. So everybody coming back on international duty, that's a tough part if you're a Chelsea team. You've got some guys that have been busy in the midweek, and Villa, for the most part, have been rested and have pushed their squad there.
That's the great thing for Villa on the international break is you have no players that have been
invited to play. There's a few, yeah, but, right.
They were in full training the whole week.
I mean, yeah, there's not a lot of guys going anywhere.
You're looking around, there's been a lot of guys gone. Well, everybody's still here. That must mean we have some crap players.
Well, I think, I mean, Jimmy Sherwood, obviously, he'll still be putting up a good fight. It's going to be a good game, I think. No question, because if Villa don't win this, I mean, it's just another slow start, but you don't want to keep hitting the reset button and to let Sherwood go. It's not, I mean, you know, we kind of laugh about letting these coaches go, but it's a jarring thing for a club to do something like that. And you hit the reset button, and, you know, Sterling's already done it, Advocate's stepping out. Big Zan is in there, which, you know, most of those guys, probably half those players, have somehow some connection with Big Sam along the way, so maybe it doesn't affect them as much. But, you know, who do you throw in there at Villa if Jimmy Sherwood loses and goes? Who do you throw in at Chelsea if Mourinho goes?
Well, I think that is
the biggest talking
I think you're going to hear Ancelotti's name come up here if one of these guys go. I mean, because Steve McClaren could likely go at Newcastle. You might throw Ancelotti in there. I don't know if he would take that job because Mike Ashley's such a disaster owner. But
no way.
I don't think you've seen Ancelotti taking a Villa either, but I think you can see Ancelotti go back to Chelsea.
Maybe, but the problem is Ancelotti is now in a position. He's been there. The last time he was let go, he was riding on the team bus and got a text message or something saying, hey, you're done, thanks very much kind of thing. That's it. Carlo Ancelotti is just, you know, left Real Madrid in the most ridiculous fashion. Just because he didn't win La Liga this last year. Anyway, whatever. But I think he's a great coach. I think he really is going to take a year off. He'll be back, and he'll be back going to a team that he knows is practically going to be in there for the fight to win the title. I don't think he's going to come to a Chelsea team that he has to kind of rebuild. I mean, they continue this route. They're about two or three games away from having no chance for the Premier League title. I would basically say they have no chance right now. But, Barnum and City, complete meltdown. But, you know.
Well, Arsenal's going to melt down. We know that.
Yeah, we do.
Will City? I'm not sure. Tell me this. Do you think there's a chance Brendan Rodgers comes back in the fold in one of these teams?
I think there's, I think Villa is a real possibility. Jim Sherwood continues on this route, you know, if they just can't get it done. I think they'll look for someone to push them through, and Brendan Rodgers could definitely be possible. You were talking too that David Moyes could be in the picture for that. He's not doing so well in Spain anymore.
David Moyes is struggling at Real Sociedad.
Yeah.
So that's possible. Another name I'm just going to throw in there, man, I think this guy's a great manager, is Bob Bradley. I know it's a stretch to think of an American coach in the Premier League.
Yeah, never been done.
I mean, he's doing very well in Norway. I think Aaron Sissons in second place. You know, his name did pop up a little bit for the Sunderland job. It was out there.
Yeah.
I will say this one thing, and this would be great if this happened. God, this would make my year. Brendan Rodgers goes to Villa, and then Villa gets relegated, and he's in the championship next year. That would make my year. I would love to have that happen.
We'll see.
Todd Stauber and Aaron Hines in here from the Touchline in Seattle, where nobody is safe. Nobody is safe in this room. if you are not this far, we're gonna crush you. Every Friday morning, 9 a.m. noon on the East Coast. Let's move on in the Premier League. Manchester United looking to rebound from their 3-0 destruction versus Arsenal. Not an easy task to go to Goodison Park at Everton.
No.
An in-form Everton side. The good news is you've got Rooney fit. Well, I think that's good news if he starts playing well. You've got Jurgen fit and you've got Schweini fit. So
yeah.
That's good, but this is not an easy game. I mean, if you're looking to get back on track after getting done by Arsenal 3-0, I'm not sure this is the way you want to be looking at it.
Yeah, if I'm a betting man, this is they'll be happy, this United team, which is weird to say. They'll be happy to get out of their point, I think. If it's anything like the game against Arsenal. So, Everton have Seamus Coleman back healthy again. Kim Howard didn't play in the big game against Mexico. You have a very, very active, Everton group right now, scoring a ton of goals. And Lukaku's one of the best strikers right now in the Premier League. So,
yeah,
a lot of pace. I mean, they have their own injuries. Yeah. Yeah, he's. I mean, he made the right decision there, no question. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough game for both sides, obviously. But I think, you know, United being the traditional favorite, but nobody's. I think we're going to draw, no question about it.
Well, when I think of Lukaku playing against Daley Blind,
yeah.
I'm picturing a race on a track of Usain Bolt and Mule.
Well, I think, I would be agreeing with you for sure if we were back in the springtime. I think Chris Smalling is out of nowhere. That's been amazing. And I can't believe we're saying it because he was absolutely horrendous.
I agree.
But, you know, whatever Van Gaal's done, yeah, that's been a huge positive about his return. And Smalling is a whole different
Let's
player.
Just hope
Bill
that
Jones
Smalling
is back up.
Matched up with Lukaku
is Daley Blind going to still be in there? Because Phil Jones is eventually is back healthy. And Phil Jones is a pretty good defender, I think. I thought he was better last year than Chris Smalling was.
Now, no longer
the case, but we'll see.
Well, you were
so
better
anyway.
With STI last year than Smalling was with United.
Yeah, that's Yeah,
and I'm
that's
here
a low
in
bar.
Form right now.
It's
not to take
bar.
Anything away from your form right now, but here's another thing: games that wouldn't normally be on your radar as big games, such as Chelsea, Villa. Wow, that's going to be a cracker. but I mean, just the way things are working out, we've got Palace versus West Ham is a big game, and Leicester versus Southampton, based on the table, that's a big game. Those are big games this weekend. It should be. I mean. There's going to be some teams climbing that you wouldn't expect to be climbing, you know, towards the end of October.
It's there's a nice bit of things are starting to shake out just a little bit, but there's still teams we can talk about getting these spots, and you know, Man City obviously back on top, of only by 2 points. We've seen them trip up already; they haven't been invincible by any means. And Crystal Palace have looked great. Leicester have looked great. They lost their heat a little bit, but. You know, still looking pretty good. And West Ham, kind of love what they're doing with Slavia Village right now. I mean, that's an exciting-looking team.
Village.
You got a great time to be a Hammer fan. You know, just come in and, boy, he's doing a great job. They're playing some good stuff. So.
He is doing a great job. But, you know, it doesn't really surprise me. He did a great job with Croatia.
He did do a great job with Croatia. They're always exciting to watch. You know, just one of those guys you appreciate. Doesn't have the teams that... you know, they're guaranteed to be bringing in some sort of silverware, and still playing really good stuff, really good soccer. So,
well,
I mean, and that Croatia is one of those.
We talked about this a couple shows ago, the contrast in styles from Big Sam smashing the ball 95 yards every time. If you touch it, smash it. And then we go to Village, who's actually trying to play football.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to bring his style into a team that was literally used to firing missiles off of their foot every time they touch the ball.
Yeah.
Or Big Sam's head was going to come and headbutt him. They did it wrong where I'm headbutting you with my massive head that's the size of a globe.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. You think of, exactly. And these guys are going to be pretty happy about playing. He's brought in some of the players, and it takes a lot to build a team like that.
Yeah.
He knew, you know, he's been in the game long enough. I just think, you think back of Croatia, and this is just kind of a random thought, but how good... you know, Yugoslavia obviously broke up years and years ago, but how good would they be? We would be talking about them as almost as a team that could win the World Cup or win the European Championships. I mean, former Yugoslavia, which is made up of Slovenia now, Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Montenegro, Macedonia, Serbia. I mean, that all those players collected in one group, and that is a team you would never want to play. Great team, great thought. They have a nice mix of Mediterranean style and hard defending. I mean, I'd love it. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just on a team.
Yeah.
Not real. Not reality.
Well, I mean, you could say
anyway,
the same thing if
under his coaching.
Ireland were one country.
Yeah, true.
I mean, well, we're off topic, though. What do you think you could take a headbutt from Sam Allardyce?
No, I think I would be
my skull would crack for sure. There's no question. Or if my skull didn't crack, it would break one of my vertebrae in the neck.
Yeah. Well, no, that would be a tough
one. Arsenal, your man, Arsene Wenger, he's looking to stay on pace with United and City against Watford. See if they can, you know, I mean, typical Arsenal, they'd be fantastic against United. I could see them losing this game to Watford.
Yes.
In their personality makeup. But I think with Alexis Sanchez and Olivier Giroud, who's been struggling with Arsenal, did score two for France on the international break. So maybe he gets back in the mix, maybe Arsene Wenger. But I would like to do one thing before we get off the Premier League. I'd like you to go from your Arsene Wenger voice to your new Jurgen Klopp voice, and I'd like to hear the contrast in that. So if you could...
Oh, wow, put me on the spot, Sam.
Tell me what you think of your chances, Arsene, at Watford, and what that would mean for your team this weekend.
Well, of course, we will be looking towards the, some continuity with the win of United and some players have been in and out. And I think the spirit of the team is more than prepared for this game. We know it's important to... What's that? Oh, the omelette, it's ready. Okay, but I have to go.
Yes, yes, good. Okay, good, Arsene. And now Jurgen Klopp.
Jurgen Klopp.
Your first game here with Liverpool coming up at White Hart Lane. You have no Pep Teke. You have no Danny Ng. What do you think of it, Jurgen?
Well, we have a few players are gone, and yes, Liverpool players are important, but we are the team. I mean, I'm not even telling you right here. Just go. My lonely German accent, yeah, my horrible German accent. And we will win, yeah. Oh, yeah, gosh.
I love it. All right, well. Oh, you're listening to Tom Sovereign, Aaron Heimsen, and Jurgen Klopp, and Arsene Wenger from the touchline in Seattle. You heard it right. If you heard that, that was fantastic. We're going to move on. A couple other big matches in Europe this weekend. Villarreal, Celta Vigo. I mean, we're talking about the two top teams in La Liga. We're not talking about Barca. We're not talking about Real. We're not talking about Atletico. We're talking about Celta Vigo and Villarreal. So a big match for them.
Big time. Yeah, it's pretty exciting for both those sides. You know, again, it's early. Real Madrid are right behind them. Barcelona lost Messi. It's kind of, you know, it's just... One minute they've won the treble, which is funny. Barcelona just won the treble, and we're no one's even talking about them. At least
I know
they're not really on the radar. It's not that no one's talking about them, but you know, they are way down the line. Can they recover? Which is an interesting story, I think. But it's further on. I mean, you know, Messi's been off a little while. But you know, can Villarreal and Celta Vigo hang on? I doubt it. But it's cool to see them up there right now. And Real Madrid is obviously right on the top, but.
Yeah,
but we'll see. I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting. Some of Spain. It's still a little mix-up. They need it a little bit. You know, instead of the Real Madrid-Barcelona show all the time. So,
yeah, I like it.
And
I like
Atletico
it.
Madrid, of course.
If we go to their neighbors there in Italia, another big game there, Inter Milan and Juventus on Sunday, also a big game in the league there. Let's just go off of the Juventus talk, though, and jump to the MLS, and I want to talk about the Italian ants. Sebastian Giovinco, because Toronto in their first ever MLS playoff berth, which is shocking that that's the first one, by the way, but their first one ever on an absolute wonder goal by Giovinco, who comes off international duty with Italy, where he was very good for Italy.
Very
in
good.
That game.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. Came on as a sub in that game and changed the game. Came on as a sub in this game, and I'm thinking maybe he's a little tired. And he does the village against Newark Red Bull.
Yeah.
This is not the Colorado Rapids or the Chicago Fire. He's done this against. This is the team that at the time was in the lead for the Supporters Shield.
Right.
He absolutely does the village. Scored, hits a left footer. That's just an unbelievable goal. They win 2-1. They get their first setup berth. Now, tell me this: Toronto, Bradley, Baltimore, Giovinco. Are they contenders?
Yeah, for sure. Especially with Sebastian Giovinco. He's been one of the most exciting. What's great about him is he isn't just some guy that came from Juventus, and Juventus had used him up, and that was bad. I mean, he's not staying up and away from Steven Gerrard, but he's not a younger guy, right? So Giovinco just went and played for the Italian national team, came in and was one of their better players when he came in, changed the game, won the game for them, basically, against Norway, which is to win. They won in the Super Group. Had they not won that, they would have finished in second, which is a different part of the European Championship, right? You go into a different pot, and you could get thrown into a tougher group. So anyway, Italy wins their group. Giovinco comes on, and you know, for all the options they have, and changes the game. So now he's gone to Toronto, gets them into the playoffs. My whole point is, he's a young guy, a player who's massively talented, clearly, and can score goals. And he's playing for Toronto. He's playing Major League Soccer. He's not in Europe somewhere. So I think that's pretty exciting for MLS and obviously Toronto. And
MLS.
I think you got to take a look that this Toronto team is pretty legit if as long as all these guys stay healthy.
Tell me this. This is going to be a tough question. Maybe tougher than the club, Benga.
Ooh.
Would you take Giovinco in the MLS or Robbie Keane?
Those are two different players for what your team needs, I suppose. I would take Robbie Keane over Giovinco just because he can build the next group, which he's doing in Los Angeles. With Bradford Jamison and Jossie Zardes and some of those younger LA Galaxy players. So I would take him, because he's been good for them for several years. He's won a couple titles now and he's still going. I feel like Giovinco, while he's fantastic this year, how much longer he's going to be in Toronto until somebody from Europe comes over and says, we want this guy in the Italian team, and he plays in Euro 2016, because he's going to be gone, obviously, for Toronto, and a massive part of it. Robbie Keane could be too. But, if he has a good European Championships next summer, I think it's safe to say he'll be returning to Europe. You'll get a lot of money out of him. Both of them are great deals, but I think Keane you get more out of, because he's not going to be sucked back into Europe again. So maybe they didn't need like an older guy. They needed something to do right away.
Well, I think Giovinco will get the MVP this year, but coming out of our English correspondent Andy Machen's mouth is that another good piece of information that he provides is that Toronto has come out and said that they don't need the money, so they're not going to sell Giovinco. He's on, I think, a 4-year deal.
For sure they can come out and say that, but I mean, I don't ever believe those kind of things. We don't need the money. I mean, somebody comes up with the money, like, okay, well, we'll take the money. So, he's obviously a massive part of their team and provides a lot of stuff, but eventually everyone has a price tag. So.
Well, and I think you're going to see Altidore just kind of fade into.
He can still score goals, Major League Soccer.
Yeah,
he can still score.
Maybe.
He's a piece of. He's no doubt a part of it. But
not a big
fan
of him, Heinz. So I will say this: the playoff pictures in both conferences clearing up a little bit. Pretty secure, I would say. Some teams have been eliminated. Teams are in, but where they end up and what place they will end up is anybody's guess at this point. Portland Timbers did themselves a favor with a 1-0 win on Wednesday. FC Dallas did themselves a favor with a 2-0 win over Vancouver Whitecaps to put them in the Supporters' Shield hunt. They're now tied on 54 points with New York Red Bull. A couple big games this weekend. Tonight, San Jose at Sporting Kansas City. San Jose still in the conversation. They can still catch either Portland or Seattle. So that's a big game for San Jose. And then Portland on Sunday, big game for them. And also Seattle, big game for them. Portland against LA Galaxy, that is a big game.
That's
a
huge
typical game.
That's...
And Seattle with Houston pretty much, they're mathematically, it's possible for Houston to stay
right.
in. But those are two big games on Sunday. But, I think it's clearing up, but where they could end up is anybody's
right.
at this point. Really, to me, the only question is, will San Jose jump either Portland or Seattle, Heinz?
Right, absolutely. They're sitting right there behind them, and I agree with you. Kansas City, the San Jose Kansas City game is huge, and the Portland LA game. So obviously the Seattle Houston is, but Houston cannot make the playoffs. They're kind of down. They could give it one more hurrah just for pride kind of thing, but I think Seattle should come out of there with a point. So let's just assume that happens. The Portland LA game. LA's got a CONCACAF Champions League game later on in the week that doesn't really even fit their picture. I think they'll want to try and get it because they still contend for the Supporters' Shield. They're only 3 points behind Dallas. They're obviously in the playoffs, so it just kind of comes down to the mentality of do they really want to push to that next level. I think they're a team that can and can give Portland obviously a lot of problems on the road. So I think Portland has a tougher game. San Jose, Kansas City game though is massive because obviously San Jose is banging on Portland or Seattle screwing up. They can jump in the playoffs. They're the team that has the most to lose right now. And Kansas City, they're only 1 point ahead. So if Kansas City loses game, San Jose are right behind them. And if Portland and Seattle win, Kansas City find themselves in number six. So it's pretty tight group right there.
Well,
and it makes it pretty exciting.
San Jose does have Portland on. San Jose's got Portland on goal differential, but they don't have Seattle on goal differential.
Right.
So. It's going to be a big weekend for the MLS.
Pretty exciting stuff, actually.
Yeah, really exciting.
What the league wants. You know, the East Coast, as you said, is kind of starting to figure itself out pretty much, but not so much in the West side.
No, but, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens this week. But we're gonna move on here. Speaking of what the fans want, Heinzo, the fans want your World 11.
The World 11 stops, as always, by Scott Gideonson coaches it. Mostly European Championship side, but I'll just get right into it. The goalkeeper is Volkan Babacan. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Babacan, anyways, Turkey. Big part of their 4 clean sheets out of 5 for Turkey to rally it back. They get a 1-0 win over Iceland. He's a big part of that. So congratulations to him. I have a backup goalkeeper.
I think his last name is actually Babaganoush.
Oh, okay. So I have a backup goalkeeper, though, this time. Georgian goalkeeper Nukri Ravishvili. Absolutely incredible performance against Germany. They lost 2-1, but they were outshot 31-8, and this guy had so many saves. Kept Germany at bay for a long, long time. In fact, it was 1-1 for a long time. And Germany needed to get the result to win the group. So he gets a little insert there as kind of the backup goalkeeper. It's absolutely fantastic. Back line, Ivan Perisic gets a goal in the 3-0 win over Bulgaria. Eventually, they escape that playoff, so it's huge them for the Croatian side. Hakan Balta and Sendar Aziz are my center backs. They're both Turkish. Again, I already said why. Those guys were fantastic for them, solidified Turkey and helped them qualify. And Alessandro Florenzi, you know, he plays in the midfield, he plays outside back. Last time we heard his name, he scored that half-court goal against Barcelona in the Champions League. So he got a goal and an assist in that 2-1 win over Norway. One of the assists was by Sebastian Giovinco, but Florenzi was awesome in that game. Going in here with the 3 in the midfield, so just throw in Sebastian Giovinco in the midfield, why not? He got the game winner over the Red Bulls, obviously. We've already talked about him, but he's in there, his contribution to the Italian side. In the center midfield, Jaha Tenkapa, great volley goal, 2-1 loss against Germany. You should have seen this guy strike. It was incredible. Really nice effort from Georgia, so he's thrown in there.
Wait, did you say Java is in coffee?
Java.
Like Java the Hutt?
Yeah, Java Kankava, if I'm saying that correctly. Georgian captain. Great goal against Germany.
Yeah,
really quality.
He's got Star Wars characters in the wheel of the left. Yeah. And starting up front, Han Solo.
Yeah, we got one more here. Barat Shimzinti from Albania. Also a goal in their win over Armenia. 3-0 win over Armenia. That solidified it for the Black Eagles. Albania, congratulations to the European Championships. Pretty amazing when they're saying Albania's in, Holland's out. It's a new time. So that's your midfield 3. Robert Lewandowski, obviously, 13 goals in the European Championships. Scored the game winner against Ireland and Poland. The guy just cannot stop scoring.
Broke Ireland's heart.
Yeah, absolutely did. He tied, though, David Healy's record, who has the record from Northern Ireland in 2008, 13 goals. So, being incredible. Also in there, Bobby Wood. I got to throw him in there. I just thought he subbed on, scored against Mexico, just like that. Cool as you like. The future of the U.S. soccer attacking right there, Bobby Wood. Man to remember. Also had goals, you know, the goals against Holland and Germany, but in front of him. Still, quality player. Really excited to see what he becomes. Finally, the last one, Paul Aguilar. The goal and assist against the United States. His last goal to win it in overtime was pretty spectacular. So, he had a great game in Mexico. Congratulations to them. And they're going to Confederations Cup, which they should have been going there anyways, Mike. That's World War.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, we had a backup keeper.
Oh, yeah.
Whose name was Babaganoush. And then we had...
Oh, no, the backup keeper was Nukri Ravishvili.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The Georgian keeper.
That's right.
Volkan Babacan.
And then in the midfield was Jaffa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. I always learn something in the World 11. It's just a moment to learn in my life every Friday.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. Well, we're going to go to the bottom 3. Something that we haven't even mentioned in this broadcast that's going to come up here in the bottom 3 is FIFA, because obviously they're still in the headlines. I'm going to put Michel Platini in as number 3, because this guy, who is just awful. He was one of the great players, but this guy's going down, because it's clear that the payment he received from Sepp Blatter was in exchange for his vote in the 2011 vote for presidential candidate of FIFA. So The agreement was he votes for Stepladder in 2011, Stepladder steps down and then votes for Platini in 2015. The English FA have rescinded their support for Michel Platini after seeing the evidence. Platini has been suspended 90 days, which I think is going to be extended to a long, long period of time, along with Stepladder. And this is just, I just say out of all of this, I don't mind watching Stepladder go down because I think he's a horrible human being on the planet. But I do have a problem with Michel Platini because he was such a great player for France. And I, you know, as I was growing up watching him play, he was one of the guys. You know?
Yeah, it's disappointing. Hopefully, well, yeah, it's tough to say, but looking good.
Anyway, he's in there.
He's in there.
I'm sure we'll be talking about this again because this is all coming to fruition.
Right.
Number two in there, I'm going to go Jurgen Klinsmann because I just think his man management of this U.S. national team, because I'll tell you what, this whole situation that happened with him sending Fabian Johnson back to Germany, all it reminds me of is the whole Landon Donovan incident. It just reminds me of another debacle he had, a bad publicity debacle, something that no doubt had effect on the locker room when he cut Landon Donovan from that World Cup squad. And I think that this is just another debacle that he hasn't handled himself very well. And I think he's losing the locker room. So he's at number two. And number one.
Number one. Who is it?
It's not going to be a surprise. It's Holland.
Yeah.
It's
Holland.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, come on. They're third the World Cup. Like a year and a half ago, you're third of the World Cup. And I mean, I even said it. I mean, these players are aging, but you've got to be at least qualified.
Yeah, when it's
come
a bigger quality. Yeah. No.
Come on. Albania qualified, man. Albania qualified. Wales qualified. Northern Ireland qualified. I mean, Kazakhstan had a better outing in European Championship qualifying than you did, Holland. It's shocking. It is unacceptable for a nation with that kind of football history and that kind of football resources to not qualify for this European Championship. So they are number one on the list. And it's a shock. We didn't have Tim Sherwood in the bottom three.
No
Brendan Rodgers, although he should be there for Sake Chan. and no Steve McClaren. All of them have somehow escaped the bottom three.
That's great. Bottom three. Well done, Sox. Well done.
Yeah, well done. Well, that's another show in the books. Time's over. We're done. It's going to be a good weekend of Premier League, good weekend MLS. Can't wait to talk about it next week. We'll be back next week, Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. And for Aaron Hines and I'm Todd Stubber from the touchline in Seattle. We're out.
We're out.